Would you like to experience God's power? Would you like to see evidence of victory in Christ?
Hello and welcome to Living God's Way, coming to you from the Germantown Christian Assembly in the Mount Airy section of Philadelphia. In an age when many are abandoning Christian values, Pastor Brian Grant's expository preaching from the timeless Word of God will remind us that the best way to live is to live God's way. In the first part of tonight's message, which aired last week, Pastor Brian Grant took us along with Elijah and his young student prophet, Elisha, on an instructional tour of the Holy Land. We visited Gilgal, which, Pastor Grant reminded us, was the place of new beginnings for the children of Israel upon entering the Promised Land. Pastor Grant stressed the necessity of actually experiencing a new beginning with Christ. Next was Bethel, the place of dedication and commitment. Then we moved on to Jericho, the place of victory and power. Pastor Grant shows how all these places hold in their history a legacy that teaches what is necessary to achieve the prize for which one was created. Turn with us now to the book of 2 Kings and chapter 2, and listen with us as Pastor Grant picks up his message, Eyes on the Prize. Here again is Pastor Grant.
My friend, I would just want you to know that God is not going to force you to leave Gilgal. You have got to make your decision. You have got to come to a point in your life where you said, God, I'm tired of this same old. God, I'm tired of just maintaining. And God, I want to experience your purpose. God, if you have made me for something great, I want to experience what you have made me for. And my friend, I hope that this morning you're determined, I'm going to leave Gilgal and I'm going to move on to Bethel. Because Bethel was the second stop. Gilgal, the place of new beginnings. But secondly, Bethel, the place of dedication and commitment. And so here we have in verse number 2, they moved on. The Bible tells us, Elijah said, I'm going to Bethel. And so Elisha said, as the Lord lives and as your soul lives, I will not leave you. So they went down to Bethel. Bethel means house of God. It's the place where Jacob had an amazing vision of God in Genesis 28. You remember the story? While Jacob was sleeping, he had this incredible vision, and he saw a ladder that stretched from earth to heaven, and angels were ascending and descending this ladder, and the Lord was standing above the ladder. And when Jacob awoke, he said, this is astonishing. He said, how awesome is this place? This is the house of God, and this is the gate of heaven. And he changed the name of the place from Luz to Bethel, which means the house of God. Jacob had a vision of God, and he was never the same again. You know, up until this time, Jacob was a schemer. He was all about himself. He was a con man. He had shown almost no sign of spiritual life. But after he saw God at Bethel, he set up a memorial at Bethel. And the Bible makes us to realize that he made a commitment to live for God. Bethel was a turning point in Jacob's life. It was the place of dedication and the place of commitment. I wonder if somebody here this morning is willing to make that sort of dedication and commitment that Jacob made. You're a Christian, but hardly anyone knows it. Just like Jacob, there was hardly any sign of spiritual life. Perhaps hardly anyone knows you're a Christian because you're running with the other folks. You're running with the world as if nothing has changed. Today, God is calling you to make a full commitment of your life to him. Bethel was a turning point. And God would eventually use this former con man to become the father of the Hebrew nation. Can you imagine that? This con man, this schemer, because of what happened at Bethel, because of the commitment that was made here, everything changed and everything started to change in his life. And oh, I pray that this morning as you listen to God's word, that you would become dissatisfied with the status quo. You'd become dissatisfied by just continuing to claim you're a Christian without any fire. And that this morning you would say, God, I want you to make me into something worthwhile. I want to experience your person and your power. I want to experience your purpose. But it won't happen until you make a full commitment. Will you make yourself a living sacrifice to God? The Apostle Paul in Romans chapter 12, verses 1 and 2, and he encourages us to make our bodies. He says, I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies living sacrifices to God, holy and acceptable to him. And he says, this is just your reasonable service. Sometimes we act as if God is asking for something much, but in light of what Jesus did for us at Calvary, it's nothing hard. He's asking us to give ourselves to him. And my friend, I wonder if this morning, even right now as we're speaking, would you be whispering a prayer to God and say, oh God, you can take my life. God, I want to serve you. I want to be your man, your woman, your boy, your girl. God, I want you to live your life in me and through me. Yes, it's important in this progression. If we're going to discover God's purpose, we must have a Gilgal experience. There must be a new beginning. But secondly, there must be a Bethel experience. There must be a point of dedication and commitment. But third, we have to move on to Jericho, the place of victory and power. Jericho, the place of victory and power. 2 Kings chapter 2, verse 4. Then Elijah said to him, Elisha, stay here, please, for the Lord has sent me on to Jericho. Oh, I tell you, Elijah keeps making sure that Elisha is really in this. He's not just tagging along. His heart is in it. He's passionate about it. And so each time he tries to discourage Elisha from coming, but Elisha was passionate. Elisha was committed. Elisha was keeping his eye on the prize. Elisha was committed. Listen, he knew and recognized his purpose was to be Elijah's successor, and he was not going to let anything cause him to miss the opportunity to be all that God wanted him to be, and he was not going to lose sight of Elijah. Listen, Jericho was the place of Israel's first major victory in the Promised Land. It's the place of victory and power. The walls of Jericho, some of you remember the story. The walls of Jericho were regarded as impregnable. No military force could break through these walls. And by the way, in case you think this is a made-up story, they tell us, the historians tell us, that the walls of Jericho are the oldest wall that the archaeologists have ever discovered. It's the oldest city wall that has been ever discovered. It's a real story, and it was a really impregnable wall. No military had ever broken through. But I hope you remember from your Sunday school days, we used to sing a little song. Who knows the song? And it used to go like this. Round the walls of Jericho, round the walls of Jericho, round the walls of Jericho, the army went. Seven times without a stop, seven times without a stop, seven times without a stop, the army went. And when the people gave a, you can shout at home, when the people gave a shout, the walls came down. Can you imagine that? Here were impregnable walls that no other military was able to break through, and all that God made them do was march around the wall and shout, and the wall crumbled. What a mighty God we serve. No wonder one songwriter says, God is omnipotent. My God is, songwriter said, no, he said, my God is awesome. Amen. What an awesome God we serve. Jericho, the place of victory and power. Can I ask you a question? Would you like to experience God's power? Would you like to see evidence of victory in Christ? You know, some Christians have lived 10, 15, 20, 25, 30 years and have seen no evidence of victory in Christ. They have a problem with alcohol. They have a problem with cigarettes. They have some problem and they have never gotten victory. My friend, I want to encourage you. You need to make sure you get to Jericho. God's power is available to every single Christian. And when we truly are progressing in our walk of faith, we will eventually get to Jericho. We will eventually get to a point where we see God's victory and power in our lives. But guess what? Most of us want to get to Jericho without going to Bethel. You see, people want to get to Jericho. They want power. They want victory. But they're not willing to go to Bethel. My friend, don't miss the progression. You can't get to Jericho unless you've been to Gilgal. Amen? You must be born again. But secondly, having gone to Gilgal, you must go to Bethel. You must have come to the point where you have decided to follow Jesus. No turning back. You're all in. Your eyes are on the prize.
Stay tuned for the conclusion of today's broadcast. To help with your personal walk with God, Pastor Grant has made available printed outlines of today's message with all the scriptures referenced. For your copy, please visit our website, livinggodsway.org, that's livinggodsway.org, or call our office at 215-242-5550. Once again, 215-242-5550. And now, let's return to Pastor Grant for the conclusion of today's message.
I'm living for Jesus. Wholeheartedly committed to Him. My eyes are heavenly focused. I want to please God. That's my aim. I'm not caught up with the things of this world. And I tell you, my friend, when that comes in and we continue walking with God in faithfulness and sincerity, we will eventually get to Jericho, the place of victory and power. The question on the floor this morning really then is, are you willing to make a full commitment of your life to God? That's really the big question this morning. Are you willing to make a full commitment of your life to God? There's a story of a lady who lived in Northern Ireland when they first got electricity. She was rich, but she was very tight-fisted. And so the neighbors were surprised when this rich but tight-fisted lady decided that she wanted to get her house electrified. And after 3 months, the meter reader kept to take a look at her meter. And after he read the meter, he said to her, "Is everything okay? Because I notice you haven't used much power. The meter has hardly moved." She said, "Everything is okay. The electricity works fine." She said, "It works so good. Every evening, I turn on the electricity just long enough to light the candles. And as soon as I light the candles, I turn off the electricity." She had all this power, but it was making very little impact. Do you know that's very common? Do you know every Christian, the Spirit of God lives in every believer, but the sad part is the Spirit's power is not being manifested in the lives of many of us. We have Him, but we're just like this lady who flicks on the electricity just long enough. Well, some Christians, they only turn on the power when they come to church and they want to shout hallelujah. And some places you see people dancing in the aisles and they're carrying on and they're telling me it's the Holy Spirit. Oh, perhaps they're flicked on the switch. But God is not interested in a Christian who wants to flick on the switch and flick it back off. He's interested in a Christian who's going to let the power of the Spirit permeate their lives, permeate their beings. So it not only will impact them, it will impact their family. And it will impact those who they come in contact with. God's power is available. Listen, Jericho is the place of power and victory. And it is my prayer this morning that we might want to commit and experience God's power. But finally, Gilgal, the place of new beginnings. Bethel, the place of commitment. Jericho, the place of victory and power. And fourth and finally, Jordan, the place of transition. Let me read for you 2 Kings chapter 2 as we talk about the place of transition. 2 Kings chapter 2, verse number 6. Then Elisha said to Elijah, stay, right? Elijah said to Elisha, stay here, please. Here he goes again. Stay right here. For the Lord has sent me onto the Jordan. But Elisha said, as the Lord lives and as your soul lives, I will not leave you. Amen. So the two of them went on. And 50 men of the sons of the prophet went and stood facing them at a distance, while the two of them stood by the Jordan. Now Elijah took his mantle, rolled it up. That's like a cloak that they would wear. And it was a signal that this was God's prophet. They took off his mantle, rolled it up, struck the water, and it was divided this way and that, so that the two of them crossed over on dry ground. And so it was, when they had crossed over, that Elijah said to Elisha, ask, what may I do for you before I am taken away from you? Elijah said, please let a double portion of your spirit be upon me. So he said, you have asked a hard thing. Nevertheless, if you see me when I'm taken from you, if you keep your eyes on the prize, it shall be so for you. But if not, it shall not be so. Jordan is the place of transition. You know, the crossing the Jordan marked a major transition in Israel's history. For once they crossed the Jordan, they were no longer pilgrims wandering in the wilderness. Once they crossed over, there were people who had arrived home. Jericho, Jordan, the place of transition. And shortly after Elijah and Elisha had crossed the Jordan, a miraculous event happened. We'll pick up at verse 11. Then it happened as they continued on and talked that suddenly a chariot of fire appeared with horses of fire and separated the two of them. And Elijah went up by whirlwind into heaven. And Elijah saw it and he cried out, my father, the chariot of Israel and its horsemen. So he saw him no more. And he took hold of his own clothes, tore them in two. He also took up the mantle of Elijah that had fallen from him and went back and stood by the bank of the Jordan. This was a moment of transition for Elisha. He had kept his eyes on the prize and had seen Elijah's departure, and as a result he had stepped into his purpose. He had stepped into his purpose of succeeding Elijah as God's prophet. My friend, when we keep our eye on the prize, it will allow us to step into our purpose. But for Elijah, it was a totally different type of transition. For in Elijah's case, after years of faithful service to God, he was transported to heaven in a chariot of fire. And oh, I love this because, you know, I know I'm speaking to some of you who are seniors. Some of you are looking forward to going to heaven. But be honest, some Christians are folding their arms as they wait to go to heaven. I want you to notice that Elijah was busy for God right up till the chariot came. He was teaching Elisha a lesson, and he was teaching us this incredible lesson that you are going through this morning. He was busy for God, but his time of transition was right there. And after faithful years of service to God, he was transported to heaven in a chariot of fire. One of these days, no matter how young you are, it will be your time. It will be my time for that type of transition. Have you given that day any thought? 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 11 makes us know, you know, the Bible makes us know that not every Christian will get to heaven the same way. 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 11 indicates that those who serve God faithfully will receive what some versions of the Bible call a grand entrance into heaven. Some versions said it will be an abundant entrance into heaven. They'll not only receive an incorruptible crown, but they will hear the master say, "Well done, good and faithful servant." I don't know about you, but I would like to hear my master say, "Well done, good and faithful servant." How about you? Wouldn't you love that? Wouldn't you love an abundant entrance? Wouldn't you love to have a grand entrance into heaven? You see, the other option, 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 5, indicates that there are some Christians who will get there. Here's how it puts it: like someone barely escaping through a wall of flames. There's some Christians who are going to get to heaven by the skin of their teeth. They're going to get, it's almost like they'll get there with the smell of the smoke of hell on them. They will get there as somebody escaping through the flames. I don't know about you, but I tell you, I'd rather have an abundant entrance. And I tell you, my friend, it's possible this morning for every single one of us, every believer, to have an abundant entrance, because this morning we can make a decision. We're going to surrender all to God. We're going to submit to Him. Farmer Brown lived during the Great Depression. Things got so bad, he couldn't pay his mortgage. The bank called him up and said, "In 60 days, if you can't catch up, we're going to foreclose." But you know, after they had said that, somebody knocked at his door one day, a few weeks later. Somebody knocked on his door and they said, Farmer Brown, and by the way, this is a true story. "Farmer Brown, we would like to pay you to lease your property. We want to lease a portion of your farm because we want to drill for oil." Well, Farmer Brown figured he had nothing to lose, because he was going to lose the property anyway, because he had no way to pay the mortgage, and he knew he was about to lose the farm. So he agreed to let them drill for oil, and when they drilled, they hit a gusher. 82,000 barrels of oil a day. True story. 82,000 barrels of oil a day. Farmer Brown was in poverty, but now he was a multi-millionaire. But when did he really, when was he a millionaire? Was it when they hit oil? Or was it when he bought the property? I'm going to suggest he was a millionaire from the day he bought the property, because that very day he bought the property, all these millions and millions of barrels of oil were there. They're still drilling oil in this particular spot all these years later. Listen, he was living in poverty, and yet right under his feet was untold wealth. God made you for something great. God has a purpose for you. All the resources of heaven are available to you. You don't have to continue in spiritual poverty. You don't have to continue in failure, in weakness, this morning, you can come to Bethel and you can commit your life to Jesus. You can say, God, I surrender all. Perhaps you're listening and you don't know the Savior. You have never had the Gilgal experience. You're not sure you've experienced this new beginning. I'm going to ask you right now to open your heart and invite the Lord Jesus Christ to come in.
My friend, Jesus loves you so much that if you were the only person in the whole world, he would have died just for you. No matter what you've done, Jesus wants to save you. He wants to forgive you today. You say, Pastor Grant, what do I need to be saved? You simply need to trust the Lord Jesus, repent of your sin, and turn to him. You may pray a simple prayer like this. Dear God, I'm a sinner and need your forgiveness. Thank you that Jesus died for my sins. Please cleanse me from all my sin. I receive Jesus Christ into my heart as my personal Savior and Lord. Please help me to live for you from this day forward. Amen. And my friend, if you pray a simple prayer like that and mean it, God will hear you and he will answer your prayer and he will save you. I hope you'll do that right now.
Thanks for tuning in today. If you received Christ or if this program was a blessing, it would be a great encouragement to hear from you. You may call us at 215-242-5550 or visit our website, livinggodsway.org. We'd also invite your partnership in this life-changing ministry. Gifts can be made through our website or by writing us at 610 East Mount Pleasant Avenue, Philadelphia, Pennsylvania, 19119. The address again is 610 East Mount Pleasant Avenue, Philadelphia, Pennsylvania, 19119. We invite you to join us for online worship this Sunday at 10 o'clock a.m. at livinggodsway.org. That's livinggodsway.org. It would be a pleasure to have you as part of our online audience. Now, until next week, on behalf of Pastor Grant and our entire church family, this is Steve Washington reminding you that there's no better way to live than to live God's way.